You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll be in to tuck you in later.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, some incredible things are happening on my answering machine today. When I got back from the office, was a message from someone I haven't heard from in a long, long time, and he just left a very short message, no phone number, no way to get in touch with him, anything. And said that he would be contacting me. It was Billy Goodman. I couldn't believe it after all this time. So anyway, I hope he does get back in contact with me, because I really, really like him an awful lot. And number two is I received a postcard today from, well, I don't know from what. Most likely from someone who doesn't really understand this broadcast and has not been listening for any appreciable amount of time. For he said, and I quote, "In the last few weeks, your show, The Hour of the Time, sucks. You've really gone downhill." And then he says the reason that it sucks is because I don't have Jordan Maxwell on or Kathy O'Brien, or I don't do the Mark Kornkey thing, which is 95% lies, 5% true. And so I want to just set that record straight, because I know that a lot of you new listeners don't understand that there are agendas being served, quite a few agendas. On this broadcast, the purpose is to reveal the truth, to dig up the truth, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me, even if it hurts you, even if it hurts your church, even if it hurts Bill Clinton, even if it hurts my own mother. If we're living a life of deception and lies, we're not living at all. Instead, we are puppets being manipulated by those who control those lies to serve their own agendas. So we don't do those things on this broadcast. And for most of you new listeners, you just don't understand at all that most of what's being aired on all of these other broadcasts, these so-called Patriot broadcasts, were aired on this broadcast years ago. This was the first radio broadcast ever to have Jordan Maxwell as a guest. I had him on this broadcast 3 years ago. But that was when he was trying to educate people about the deception of the priesthood of all different religions. Something has happened between then and now. He is now on a crusade to destroy Christianity. If he had his way, He would take away your right to even consider being a Christian. And he would do away with all Christians. And those of you who have been listening to him lately, you can hear that. See, when he was on this broadcast 3 years ago, he was educating. He was talking about what he'd learned in his research about religion and about the pagan religions and Christianity and how the two had been merged in the early days of the Christian church. And when he was doing that, it was in line with what this broadcast is all about. So he was a guest on here. He's not doing that now. He has venom in his heart. He's out to hurt people. And he has an agenda, which is to destroy an entire religion. This broadcast is about revealing the truth to you, but not destroying you or your religion or any organization you belong to. We don't even want to destroy you. If you're trying to create world government and destroy us, what we want to do is open your eyes so that you'll stop doing that. You can still believe in your church, still belong to your organization. And if after you've heard the truth about all these things, you still want to believe in that, even though that you know it's not true, it's okay with us because we believe here on the Hour of the Time, in the Intelligence Service, in the Kaji News Service, with Veritas, everything that I am connected with, we believe in freedom, real freedom for all people, of all races, of all religions, of all ancestral origins. And if we reveal the truth to you and you don't like it, you don't want to listen to it, or you think it's not the truth, we're not going to bother you, and we're not going to set out to destroy you. We've done our job. We've given you what we have documented or what we believe in our heart and can generally prove is the truth. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the truth is elusive. So that it might open your eyes and so that you might quit being manipulated and become a real free, maybe for the first time in your whole life, free person. I would fight and die so that you can have that freedom, so that you could worship at the altar of your choice, believe whatever you want, have the freedom of speech, have all of the protections of our natural rights guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's what this broadcast is all about. Most people don't understand freedom. You see, to most people, even most people listening to this broadcast as I speak, freedom means only that I can do and say what I want if it agrees with what you believe or with what you want me to say and do. But you see, real freedom is this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm free to do anything I want, period. Makes no difference as long as I do not hurt the person or property of any other human being or break the law. And the law is created by the society in which we live. If we don't like the law, there are means to change those laws. And if we can't change those laws, it means the majority of the people in that society believe that the law is correct and true and good and therefore should not be changed. That's why they're having such a hard problem getting the guns out of the American people's hands, is because the American people don't buy that jive. They know that when they give up their guns, they're going to be slaves. They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. You see, if you send $1 in a self-addressed stamped business size envelope, we'll send you a tape list. And you'll see that almost everything that's being discussed on any radio program in the entire country has already been covered on this broadcast years ago. And what we're covering now, the exposure of the lie of the master race of British Israelism, has never been exposed on any radio broadcast ever in the history of the world. Period. And yet you're ignoring that and sending me a postcard because you want to hear Kathy O'Brien. Kathy O'Brien is a liar. Barefaced, unmitigated, unabashed, unashamed liar. She has an agenda. Now, she says that she's never been able to sue the United States government because the suit is blocked by the National Security Act, and the courts rule that she cannot bring suit because of the National Security Act. She's a liar. You see, Kathy O'Brien has never brought suit against anybody, not the United States government, not anybody. And she will not bring suit against me because I can prove in 3 seconds flat in any courtroom in this country that she's a liar. And there's no veil of national security here. So if Kathy O'Brien is telling the truth, she's going to sue me tomorrow. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, she will not sue me. She has never sued the United States government. Her whole story is a concoction, a barefaced lie. Yes, there is documentation that proves mind control experimentation. Some of it absolutely horrible, beyond belief. And it's all been documented on this broadcast years ago and in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, before Kathy O'Brien or anybody else ever came on the scene. And that includes her sidekick. They claim they have thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of documentation, yet they will not release that documentation to anybody. They just give you a little bit. What is the little bit they give you? The same little bit that people have always had that have studied mind control for many, many years. The same information that I've revealed to you on this broadcast and many others have revealed in their books and on broadcasts about mind control. Kathy O'Brien is an unmitigated, barefaced, unabashed, unashamed liar. Does everybody understand what I'm telling you? People don't get in the White House, ladies and gentlemen, if they have sex slaves, and especially if they bring those sex slaves to the White House. And if they do, they do not discuss national or international policy or the plans for the New World Order or anything else in front of their sex slaves. Because there's always somebody who's ready and willing to get a hold of that information and expose it and destroy them. And I don't care if they're liberal, if they're Republican, if they're Democrat, if they're right-wing, if they're left-wing, if they're communist, if they're anarchy, whatever they are. Bill Clinton has the reins on the power in this country. He hasn't stopped anybody from exposing his sexual liaisons, ladies and gentlemen. These people are not fools. They're very smart, very intelligent, very slick. And they don't get to the White House, or they don't get to be the Speaker of the House of Representatives, or the leader of the majority of the Senate, or anything else, because they have sex slaves, and they discuss how they're going to bring the New World Order into being in front of these sex slaves. Not only that, but common sense ought to tell you that if Kathy O'Brien was sexually abused, molested, used as a sex slave, and made to do every perverted thing in the entire world with every president since Nixon, the entire upper half of the Senate and the House of Representatives, every leadership and famous person that's ever lived, don't you think that she would show a little bit of that wear and tear? But she doesn't. And when you hear her talk, she doesn't even show any emotional disturbance whatsoever. No anger, not upset, nothing. And I just wonder how it is that there are so many fools out there in radio land that are so willing to believe all this utter, total crap. You see, I called in one night when she was spouting her lies, and I just asked one question. Can you prove that you were ever in your life in the White House? There was dead silence, ladies and gentlemen. And all of a sudden, she started giggling and stuttering. She couldn't come up with an answer. Then Mark Phillips, her partner there, said, well, you know that these people are crooks and there's nothing beyond their capabilities. And then, bang. Disconnected. And that's okay. Any radio broadcast has the right to disconnect anyone they want. Lord knows I do it enough here, but I don't do it because someone asks a question. I do it because they're stupid, or exceptionally rude, or antagonistic. As long as someone is intelligent and present a legitimate argument, I'll talk to them all night, or at least a reasonable amount of time so that other people are able to get on the broadcast. I was cut off because there was no answer to my question, and there never will be because it's a lie. You can take her book and pick it apart piece by piece. It is a conglomeration of lies. I don't know what Mark Phillips' story is. I don't know why he's hooked up with Kathy O'Brien. But I will tell you this. Kathy O'Brien is a liar. She's a scam. She has an agenda. And don't you ever forget it. Tonight we're going to finish up with the destiny of America. Like that Celtic music, where British Israelism has its roots in the old Celtic and Druidic religions, the pagan religions of the Anglo and Saxon and Teuton regions of Europe. Nobody ever heard of the word Aryan. They were the Teutonic tribes, the Celts. They were the Gauls. They were the Druids. Until Helena Blavatsky came along and connected these tribes to a supposed Eastern race called the Aryans. Supposedly the Indian. Not the Indian of the United States or of the American continents, but the Indian of India. Whom, ladies and gentlemen, are not white. But yet the Aryans were supposed to be a pure white race, superior to all other races, that founded, created, and nourished civilization. And none of it is true. It's a heady offering for anyone who is willing to believe it, for anyone who is so insecure within themselves that they need desperately for someone to tell them that they're worth something, worth more than anyone else, that they are elevated indeed above all other races and peoples of the earth, and that they are truly the master race who have been promised to inherit the world. Isn't that something? It's the same heady attraction of the mystery religions of Babylon, the secret societies, the so-called fraternal organizations. which hold out the promise of the revelation of a secret if you climb high enough in the degrees of initiation, a secret that makes you different from all of the men and women on this earth, that hold out the promise that you will be a member of the truly elect, the holders of this secret, the guardians, indeed, of the secrets of the ages. That you will be a part of a brotherhood that will promise you wealth and material satisfaction and will take care of you. And if you're in legal problems and you go before a judge who is also a member of this brotherhood and you give the secret sign, you will prevail against your enemies in that courtroom. And it's all true. Except for one thing. Actually, two. There is no secret except the secret of how to control others through the promise of a secret. And there are no elite. There is no superior race. Period. Period. End of subject. It is a scam, a lie. Now, on Friday night, you heard me reveal the proofs of all of this, and those proofs are undeniable. Can't even argue with them. Not for a second. All you can do, if you want to hold on to these imagined delusions of grandeur, is to dismiss them arbitrarily and continue to quote the old deceptions. And many people will do that. For some people are so ingrained in this doctrine and so established in the community of those who believe in this doctrine that for them to stand up and admit that they were wrong and to reject it outright would mean terrible consequences. They would lose most or all of their friends. They would be ostracized by the community. They would be excommunicated by the church. If they owned or operated a business, they would lose their business and their family would be put in the poorhouse or out in the street. And you all know what I'm talking about because you've all seen it happen over and over and over again. And you would be hounded and persecuted by the priests and the elders of these religions until you had to flee utterly for your very life and your very existence. Some who have found themselves in this situation have even been murdered over the years because they refuse to flee, refuse to back down, and refuse to recant the rejection. The original population of this country, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not talking about the Native Americans who were already here. I'm talking about the immigrants from the very first. The original population of this country came from England. Indeed, from this whole continent came from England. Later from France. The destiny shapers of America failed to advise us. Ladies and gentlemen, how in this process, if these are lost tribes that they're talking about, how in this process of crossing the Atlantic, the Ephraimites changed into children of Manasseh? How did that happen? Oh, well, some say that there were 12 original tribes of Israel, many of them lost tribes. Which isn't true, and the Bible substantiates that they were never lost. Never, ever, not once. But that Manasseh is the 13th. Well, if there are only 12 original tribes, where does this 13th come from? Anybody have an answer to that? Because these same people claim that the formation of the state of Israel fulfills the prophecy of all of Israel coming together again into a nation. Therefore, Manasseh cannot be the reformed tribes of Israel. whether lost or not. So what is this all about? It's about a deception of such a magnitude, ladies and gentlemen, that without even knowing it, many people who claim to be patriots and who claim to be against the New World Order are actually helping it come about through this deception of the mystery religion of Babylon and international Zionism, which have combined their forces. And folks, Zionism is not Judaism. So don't go blaming it on the Jews. Many Jews are Zionists. Many Jews are not Zionists and reject it outright. And I hope you understand that. Anytime that you begin to blame one people, one race, one group for all your problems, you are fitting in to the deception of divide and conquer and destroy the weakness of that action. They have succeeded in splitting this country into so many groups, so many religions, so many organizations, so many this, so many that. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you really want to know the truth, there is very little of America as it has ever been known to be left, if any at all. And there's going to be an ultimate conflict, whether it be peaceful or with the force of arms, depends upon how many people we are able to awaken in order to form a political consensus that will take the hands out of these manipulating power grabbers so that they have to drop the power into our hands and let us restore freedom to all peoples. There is, of course, a great deal more, and it's an extremely interesting study, an interesting talk, conversation, if you can converse with someone who is intelligent enough to be able to converse, rather than argue dogma. But it is all founded upon the same arbitrary method, ladies and gentlemen. And all of this pseudo-exegesis is backed up by equally precarious tradition, formed simply by taking a verse and making it fit somewhere. Or if you can't make that verse fit somewhere, you take a historical event and find the verse that will fit it. Taken out of context and without any attention to any other verse, tracts, chapters, whatever. So beginning with Esdras in his second book in the Apocrypha, we know that, quote, the 10 tribes took this counsel among themselves that they should leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country, that there they might keep their law which they had never kept in their own land. And they passed by the way of the Euphrates. End quote. This is confirmed, folks, by Josephus, who wrote AD 70, quote, the 10 tribes are now beyond the Euphrates and are an immense multitude. End quote. What became of them? 10 tribes? Well, according to these British Israelites, they were 12 tribes. But when you're talking about the 12 tribes, then Manasseh becoming the 13th, what you're doing is really recounting the story of the zodiac and the sun, the 12 houses and the sun, the 12 disciples and Jesus. The same old story throughout the history of the world. British Israelites claim they have the answer. Past old gravestones in the Crimea and a town on the Danube near the Black Sea called Isaka, quote, evidently an Israelitish name, end quote. Evidently? What do you mean evidently? Prove it! And they can't. They trace these tribes to Scandinavia and to Western Europe. The Saxons, having come from the Black Sea, captured England from the original Britons and divided the country into sections whose names all remind us of God's promise. In Isaac shall thy seed be called, Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. For they are Sussex or South Saxon, Essex or East Saxon, Middlesex, etc. And this is all what they say. It's not really what happened in history. There is an Irish tradition that the prophet Jeremiah escaped from Egypt with a daughter of Zedekiah, the last, and by the way, illegally appointed king of Judah. These two first reached Spain and later Ireland, they say. Here, this female descendant of David, entitled to David's throne only by favor of Nebuchadnezzar, married an Irish tribal chief or king between B.C. 580 in 565. From then on, the line of David is continued, first in Ireland, then in Scotland, and England. And at the same time, they have this other story that Joseph of Arimathea have this other story that says the same thing with different names. That Joseph of Arimathea took Mary of Magdalene, who was really, according to this story, the wife of Jesus, and her children, the children of Jesus, to Scotland and Ireland. And from there arose the Merovingian line of kings, descended from the house of David because Jesus, as the Bible says, was a descendant of the house of David. And so his progeny would also be. Think about that. How in the world did they get people to believe all of this? For there is no truth at all for any of it, ladies and gentlemen. This feat, however, was by no means the only accomplishment of the aged prophet Jeremiah. We're talking about the first story here. He also succeeded in taking with him the stone of destiny. This is the stone I've talked to you about from the beginning. All through the mystery schools, we've talked about this stone. The Queen of England sits upon the stone, which rests beneath her throne. He succeeded in taking with him the stone of destiny. It should be borne in mind, namely, that Jacob, when departing from Bethel, had taken with him the stone which he had used for a pillow as a token of the divine presence, and on his deathbed had referred to it when, according to Genesis chapter 49, verse 24, he had said concerning Joseph, "From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." This same stone went with the Israelites into the wilderness. Paul referred to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The rock followed them. But just look that up in its context and you'll see it does not mean what they say it means. And can you remember in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I found my church"? Same stone, and he wasn't talking about Peter. And I know that many of you don't understand. According to the British Israelites, Jeremiah then took this stone with him, and it became the coronation stone of the kings of Argyll, then of the kings of Scotland, and until recently of the kings of England. But you see, this is not an unbroken line of ancestry. This is a line of conquest. the stone did not pass through these hands. The stone that they're talking about in real history, not the history of the deception that the British Israelists teach, but real history, the stone did not pass through these hands by blood, but by conquest. So that the hands in whom the stone now rests is in no way related to the house of David, no matter how they may falsify their lineage. And believe me, so many lineages of bloodlines are falsified today to connect somebody with someone whom they were never related to under any circumstances, and to bloodlines and through history that cannot even prove the existence of the people whom they claim they are related to. For instance, there is no historical proof whatsoever other than the Bible says so that a king named David ever lived upon the face of this earth. Recently, they found a rock somewhere on the side of a building that they dug up in an archaeological excavation, which had the name David carved on it, and they are now saying that that is the proof that King David was real. But it's not. It's just a rock with the name David carved on it. How many Davids do you think there have been throughout history? And what do you... Well, I could go off into all kinds of little things, but let's not do that. This stone rested in Westminster Abbey. Small wonder the removal of this stone of scone in December the 25th, 1950, caused so much consternation. You see, because today they claim that this Jacob's pillar is now the stone of scone. There's about as much historical evidence for all of this as there is for the alleged story which claims that there is among Roman Catholic relics the stone upon which the rooster stood when he crowed at Peter's denial of his Lord. Or for that matter, for the feather that dropped from the wing of the angel Gabriel when he announced the Savior's birth to Mary. Much after the same fashion, ladies and gentlemen. Great things were expected some years ago from the then Prince of Wales, one of whose name was David, and who reached the age of 30 years in 1924, would duplicate his ancestor, the original King David, and bring the world together and fulfill the prophecy with him sitting upon the throne. But Prince David, meanwhile, having become King Edward VIII, abdicated from the throne of Judah and Israel, British, in favor of the woman he loved. That's his exact words. Quote, the woman I love, end quote. And the Duchess of Windsor proved a spoke in the wheels of Anglo-Israelish exegesis. You can't look within the narrow confines of this brief two nights and the various other angles of the strange theory, which is said before boasts at least 2 million adherents worldwide, such as the fact that anthropological and racial studies and comparisons have refuted the British Israel assertions concerning the racial peculiarities of the English and British as thoroughly as those of the Mormons, that the American Indians are the Lamanite seed of Jacob. It's all false. All a lie. And many people believe it, and that's why they call it religion. And I'm going to tell you right now that all religious beliefs are based upon an article of faith which cannot be proven to anyone. period. Many of them can be disproven, but none of them can be proven at all. If they could, it would be called science and not religion. So somewhere along the line, someone has convinced people to believe these things, and they have found it in their best interest to do so. And I find no fault with this. If they are going to church and doing good works and contributing their efforts to helping other people and truly worshiping their God, whoever that happens to be. But when they set out, to become superior than the rest of us and enslave the rest of us in a new world totalitarian socialist order, that is where the line must be drawn. And these deceptions must be exposed, because no longer are they harmless, no longer are they exercising their right to practice their own religious beliefs, protected by the Constitution, but they are then infringing upon the rights protected by the Constitution and given to us by God of every other person upon the face of this earth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be allowed, at least by me. So again, I want to reiterate that by this little expose Friday night and tonight, I'm not attempting to destroy your religion or tell you that you cannot worship that religion or that you should not worship that religion, but to reveal to you the deceptions that are practiced upon all of us by the priesthood, by the powers that be, the secret societies, forces within governments, in order to make us believe in certain things that will ensure our own enslavement. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that all major organized religions today are involved in this deception. I don't care what you call that religion. I don't care what part of the world that religion exists at. I don't care who belongs to it. It is true. It is absolutely true. In Jesus' day, he would have called these manipulators, these deceivers, and these liars, Pharisees. And he would have called this secret hidden power, the secret government, if you will, the Sanhedrin. For in those days, that was truly the power behind the throne. The power which the king dared not go against. Thank you. Well, we can take calls until the end of the hour if you'd like. The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. While we're waiting, I'm going to give you the new address for the Research Center for Veritas, for the hour of the time, for all of us, as a matter of fact. It's Harvest. If you're writing to Veritas, write to Veritas in care of Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, P.O. Box 1970. That's P.O. Box 1970. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R. That's Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Once again, the zip is 85925. The entire address is whoever you're writing to. If you're writing to me, it's William Cooper in care of Harvest. If you're writing to the Intelligence Service, it's the Intelligence Service in care of Harvest. If you have a question about an order, write to Annie in care of Harvest. If you're writing to Veritas, write to Veritas in care of Harvest. P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. If you need to call Veritas about a subscription, about submitting an article, about anything about Veritas, this is the only number that you can call. If you call any other number, you're not going to get any help, and you're just going to be told that you have to call this number. The number is 520-333-4578. 333-5661. That's 520-333-5661. If you're calling for any other reason, also that number that I just gave you is the fax for all of us. If you want to send a fax to any of us, that's the number. You can only call that number and talk to people about Veritas, nothing else. And you can't talk about Veritas on any other number that I'm going to give you. But if you want to fax to any of us, that's the number that you must fax to, and it will automatically be switched to the fax when the phone picks up and hears the fax tone. So that's 520-333-5661. If you want to talk to me or discuss CAGI business or intelligence service or orders or anything like that at the hour of the time, you call 520-333-5691. That's 520-333-5691. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. My name is Scott. I'm calling from Daytona Beach, Florida.
Hello, Scott.
Now, first I want to say that I agree thoroughly with what you said about Kathy O'Brien and that Maxwell. As a matter of fact, I even wrote a letter to a program that was having Kathy O'Brien on quite a bit and said almost verbatim what you said on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by the way the woman talks that she's lying, because if she'd had the experiences that she had, then why does she spend so much time talking about things that are not part of that experience, like the New World Order and brainwashing techniques? She wouldn't know those things.
That's correct.
Now, and as far as Maxwell, he pretends to know more than he does, because I'm a student of ancient languages.
That's also correct. And you're very astute for recognizing that.
Yeah, he's claimed some etymologies that are utterly false.
Yes.
Most people would never know that. However, I would like to point out some errors that you've made in your program tonight. Now, at the beginning of the program, you identified Anglo-Saxon with Celtic, and of course those are two different groups.
No. I mentioned several groups. I mentioned the Teutonic tribes, the Celts, and the Druids,
mm-hmm.
and the Gauls.
Okay, are you...
They are all make up the what are known today as the Anglo-Aryan British Israelite conglomeration of races. Of course, Japan wasn't included in there, which the British Israelites do include Japan as a part of their master race.
Okay, well, I'll put that aside for the second.
I can't, because it's pure bullshit and it's part of their dogma. You can't put it aside.
Something else first, all right?
Go ahead.
Now, are you... I have,
but your assertion that I said that what you said is not true. I included all of those tribes and ancient religions that are the main players in my opening remarks.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I have studied Sanskrit, and I am aware of the fact that Erin, which is, of course, the Gaelic name for Ireland, is etymologically...
Erin is not the Gaelic name for Ireland.
I just looked it up in the dictionary.
Erin is not the Gaelic name for Ireland. Erin, in the Hebrew tongue, literally means the priesthood. Has nothing to do with Ireland.
Well, that's probably a completely different word. I just looked it up in the dictionary.
No, it's not a different word. I've been all through this many, many, many different times. But go ahead and finish your...
Professor of Sanskrit told me that Erin, or Air, which is a different version of it, is etymologically related to the word Arya, and also to Iran. They're all the same root, right? And so, in fact, the Aryans of India are related to the Aryans of Europe. And you say that they look completely different. Well, yes, a lot of them do because of racial mixture. But if you look especially at a lot of the people from Punjab, there's a television program. I was in Toronto. They have a lot of multicultural programming on television. One of the programs on is a Punjabi program, and the woman that hosts it is the most Nordic-looking woman you would ever want to see. So I think that's...
Well, now, wait a minute. That's like saying that in England, there's someone hosting an English program who looks like they came from India. How do you know what her ancestral origin is?
Well, I
do you know what her ancestral origin is?
I think it would be highly...
Right? Well, no, wait a minute. Do you know what her ancestral origin is? You're citing her as proof.
All right, okay. Well, okay, okay. Well, just for argument, I'll say, okay, that's only one example, but I...
No. Good night. You see, folks, it never fails. When it comes down to really intelligently debating the issue, they can't. They fall back on the most unbelievable bullshit that I've ever heard in my life. Saw somebody on television in India who had blonde hair and blue eyes, and that's proof. Bullshit! Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. Talk about British Israelism. And I think you're trying to make a glancing hit on identity.
No, I'm not trying to make a glancing hit. Oh, wait a minute. We just lost the satellite, so we got to get back on satellite, folks. Hold on. Are we on, Eddie? Well, it's just like always, folks. When we're talking about something that really gets to this New World Order crowd, they knock us off the satellite. And that's what happened tonight. No, I'm not trying to make a roundabout hit on Christian identity. I'm making a direct hit on Christian identity. I don't mince words, and I don't sneak around by the back door.
And also, you don't look at history.
I look exactly at history. I cited history tonight many, many times. I cited the proof. Now, argue the proof. Argue intellectually the points of proof, if you can.
By faith, Mr. Cooper, or by sight?
Pardon?
You claim to be a Christian. Do you live by faith or by sight?
What are you talking about? How many different churches of Christianity are there?
Well, there are many.
How many?
I have no idea.
That's what I thought. How many of them are there that are different that believe that they are the only ones in this world that are right?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Every one of them do.
Here's what history
there are thousands.
Our heritage.
Well, let me tell you something. There are thousands of these splinter groups of Christianity all teaching a different dogma, a different interpretation of scriptures, all claiming that they are 100% right.
They have no historical record to fall back on.
What are you talking about? Every one of them can cite historical record. What historical record can you cite?
Well, where the 10 tribes of Israel migrated from Assyria when they were in captivity, migrated eastward or westward.
Migrated westward?
Correct.
Where is the Euphrates from Israel?
I'm not speaking about Israel.
Where is the Euphrates from Israel? That's where they started from when they migrated.
Captivity in Assyria.
Good night. Here's another guy that doesn't know his history. They migrated from the Middle Eastern Israel, Palestine area, crossed the Euphrates. It wasn't west, my friend. It was east. Of course, you wouldn't know that because you're blindly parroting what you've been taught. You have no conception. You probably never even looked at a map of the Middle East. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, Bill. This is Fred from Fresno. I'm calling from KDNO country.
Hi, Fred.
I read your book.
Richard Palmquist, one of my favorite people.
Yes, he is.
A man with guts.
Yes, he is. I had a question about your book that I was a little curious about, Operation Rainbow,
mm-hmm.
Where you spoke of the supposed UFO beings having videotaped the crucifixion of...
No. What I said is I saw documents that said that these things happened. And Project Rainbow was supposedly an experiment that had nothing to do with what you're talking about. It was the United States government experiment in time travel. And I have no idea whether it was actually ever performed, whether it was successful, or whether it failed.
And there was no more information on it then?
Well, there may be, but I never saw it.
You never saw it?
No.
That was my question, Bill. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And that does it for tonight, folks. Well, maybe. No, I can't. We're just down to the wire, and we've got to... Once again, we've got to go. Good night. And God bless each and every single one of you. There is no master race, ladies and gentlemen, only the human race. And the quicker you get that through your head, the quicker we will be able to leave peacefully all other people alone and enjoy life upon this earth and stop manipulating and stealing and taking freedom and enslaving. Don't buy into the deception. And the American Indians, ladies and gentlemen, are not Lamanites. If you don't believe me, ask them. They'll tell you.